Right. Hey, what's up, guys? I'm one
What's
here
up, ping
and
pong?
what? Ping pong? All right,
I
and
start
the
to call
boss
people
man.
ping pong nowadays, that's why I keep doing what's up, ping pong. You know, my
What's
mom,
that?
my wife, everybody, I'm calling them ping pong.
Why is that ping pong of all things?
Because, I don't know, it just sounds random and sounds lame.
Ping pong. All right. On the other line, we have Mr. Fias, who has
what's up,
recently,
everyone?
Who has recently bought a new mic, as you can hear.
Yeah.
All right.
Bitch.
So, so you wanna like share a little bit on how you got your mic, because I think it sounds a lot better. So
yeah, because the previous recording that we did, I was actually using my Razer gaming headphones, and like after listening to it, it sounded like I was on a Skype call with one. So I was like, you know, I mean, as podcasting people and, you know, YouTubers, social media and all, we always want to upgrade ourselves as time goes by. So I was talking to a friend who does Twitch streaming. I want to shout out his channel, but I can't remember his name, his channel name, so another day. Sorry, my
it's
friend.
Okay.
Anyways, he was the one that was telling me about this mic called Samson Go Mic. Basically, it's a condenser mic that runs with a USB cable, and it comes with a clip so that you can clip on your laptop or anything. It's really good for podcasting if you want to do podcasting. And also, if you can get the USB-C type cable to the micro B USB cable, then you can plug it into like your Android phone, or I don't know, is iPhone using C type now as well?
Man, I have not used an iPhone for a long time, so I know the iPad uses. I know the iPad uses Type C, but for phones, I don't know, man. I think it's still using Thunderbolt. I think
maybe, but yeah, anyways, you can always like plug it to your phone using that special cable, the one I was saying, the C-type to micro B, and you can actually do like on location recording if you're like, you know, if you want to do like travel vlogging and whatnot. I mean, it's a really good investment. I only paid for like what, $60 so for it, so
yes, considering with what is out there, $60 is definitely a steal.
Yeah,
yeah, it could
it's
cost
really
a lot
cute
more.
It's just like your palm size condenser mic, and it works
I saw the picture you posted. That one definitely can easily bring around, and it's not that heavy, right? It's like
yeah, it's not that heavy.
Yeah.
So I mean for us, we know that in Singapore that there's things like GameStar, you know, SGCC and all, so it'll be good, like, you know, to shoot some videos with this mic and all. So I mean, more options, I guess.
Yeah. So anybody is looking into buying a microphone, if you want to do a podcast or anything, definitely check out the recommendation by Fias. And
yeah,
I think
it's the Samson Go Mic by and. I think they have another one. It's called the Samson Go Mic Mobile. I don't know. It's that one is another version. But if you want to get this one is good. So I highly recommend it.
All right. Now moving on to the main content.
Yep.
So we've been going through some lists that we have noted out. And the first thing we are going to talk about is the TV series on Netflix, which is called Kingdom.
Yes.
All right. So Kingdom, to summarize, the most likely we are going to have a full-on spoiler. Right? I mean, Kingdom has been
out. Yeah, I mean, it's been out since January. So, I mean,
it's
totally fine to get into it.
Yeah. So the main summary. Kingdom is a horror zombie genre kind of a TV series which feudal Korea, would that be correct to say? Ancient times, so
medieval Korea also can be
so I think I have yet to see a zombie-oriented kind of a TV show in that timeline or time era, especially in Korea. Have you come across any like anything like that before Kingdom?
No, actually, this is the first time I actually came across something like that. Usually, zombie flicks is always set in modern time or post-apocalyptic. You know, that's the, like the generic timeline that they always set it on. You know, but medieval, like olden days, I don't think so. And olden days Korea dynasty time, wow, that's like never ever happened.
Yeah,
I guess that that is one of their selling point. You know what I mean?
Yep, for sure, man. I gotta agree with you. But the people who did Train to Busan is the same creative team who did the Kingdom series. So, I mean, what do you think about Train to Busan? Did you enjoy the movie?
Oh, I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it.
Mm.
It was it really keeps you on the edge, you know, like and it doesn't bore you with boring moments, you know. Everything is you know, it's always a build up to something big. And one of the Korean actors in the in Train to Busan is actually one of my favorite Korean actors. The you know that big guy. His name is Ma Dong-seok.
Oh, the guy who decided to like put like some makeshift gloves and start punching the zombies like that.
Yeah.
That scene. I love that scene. It was like, oh, come and get some, man.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a really good actor. I mean, he has done a lot of amazing movies. Even my dad is actually a very big fan of him.
Mm.
He has so many movies, what, The Unstoppable. There's one about the arm wrestling one. There's one about Seven Gods and all. And the recent one.
He seems to be a very like rugged kind of guy, right?
He is. And the recent one that I watched, that actually came out the same weekend as John Wick in Singapore. It's called the Gangster, the Cop, and the Devil.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Haven't seen
that. So if anyone that wants to that haven't watched it, I also highly recommend that movie.
All right. I mean, for Kingdom itself, the series, like, I very much enjoyed the entire season. I mean, the episodes was like 5 episodes, so it's quite easy digestible within one binge. But per episode is about was it like 45 minutes or something like that, right? It was
about 45 to 50 minutes or so.
And the feeling of like if you were to binge the entire season from episode 1 to 5, it felt like a extended movie. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it does feel like an extended movie. Which is, that's why when it ended, it felt so horrible.
Oh yeah, the cliffhanger.
Yeah, the cliffhanger
moment.
Yeah,
definitely.
I felt horrible, man. I was like, shit, I didn't want this to end.
Yeah, but the thing that I wanna say before I go on further for Kingdom, I love everything about the show, but I might butcher a lot on their names because I still have difficulty in pronouncing Korean names.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think we got no problems in pronouncing Japanese names, but for Korean names, wow, it's difficult. So I'm trying to figure out how we're going to identify the characters in the show. So
bad like, if we get the names and all wrong.
We are going to butcher a lot of names, so we apologize first. This is we're going to put it out there. But all right, so the synopsis is like, basically there is not, I wouldn't say a virus, that plagues the entire so-called kingdom. Like the king died, and they use this like resurrection, flower. So basically, in doing so, the king did beat somebody, right? So the thing like kind of like spread from there.
Yeah. I think it's more of like, you know how certain zombie movies is always about certain virus that got infected, and from the infection you know, people start turning into zombie, or the infected zombie person individual bites another one and turns. This one was kind of interesting in the fact that they wanted to revive someone, and probably the chemicals in that plant kind of alter some DNA thing in their body or something that caused them that caused the king to turn into the undead.
I definitely like the idea on like how say the flower, the element that causes so called the resurrection. I that like the nice idea. Touch. Yeah, I like the idea on like it tells you how it happened, but it doesn't tell you the intricate details. It just like leaves you to your imagination, which I think is a nice touch.
And it also, if you think about it, you know, a lot of especially Asian movies from like Hong Kong to Korea and all, when it's set in the olden days, they always believe that the elixir of life is always a good thing. Then it always gives you like youth, you know, or brings you like good health and whatnot. But I like at the fact that they make that idea of the elixir of life, which is a good thing, and they made it bad.
Oh yeah, definitely. You definitely have a point there. Like the elixir of life is a very Asian concept for a long time. So for when you say it in that way, I think it's a good twist on something that is so called
always seen as the good, you know.
Yeah. And it's a part of a belief for some folks, and then like turning around in their heads, which is a nice touch.
Yeah.
Like now, like I want to ask you, like, what do you think on the production on this thing? I think on the budget they did, I think it's a really epic scale. Like the amount of like,
it's a really huge budget, man.
Yeah, like I think I want to give props to the, what was that director person like doing like scenes or that, like he needs to find out like certain sets and like where the actors can their production manager or production director.
Maybe we can name it as a production manager.
Yeah, that guy gotta give like credits and props to that person, because like trying to make a believable scene like inside a castle or like battlefield in the open like forest and all that, like that is amazing. So
exactly.
I mean,
when was the movie shot?
I mean, I'm not sure. I think probably around, if it's released on January, I give or take about like 5 or 6 months before that. And the costume, the zombie makeup, it's very believable. And the zombies, I think they done it just right for me. I feel like it's not overdone. It's a bit grounded. I mean, I've seen some movies where zombies are just like,
I hate it at the fact that when they get lazy and they design a zombie in the way that, oh, you know, we just put like cuts on you and all. We just gonna put some blood and gore and that's it. You know, kind of thing. Yeah. But this one, you can actually see that they keep it really plain and simple, but they just added certain elements to make it like, oh, you know, it's the undead kind of thing.
And for a long time, zombies, like, most Western adaptation on zombies is like, they make it very slow, sloppy. Yep. And you can basically run. I mean, you can brisk walk and the zombies won't have the speed to actually chase after you.
Yeah, exactly.
But, for Kingdom, I think it's about
zombie on steroids. I swear, when the moment when they start chasing, I'm like, wow, shit.
Yeah, like, it's like fun. I can't remember the top of my head right now. I think was it this, what was that zombie? There is a zombie movie where the zombie started running. Was it Day of the Dead or one of the movies I can't remember the top of my head. So for this they have this idea as well where the zombies are frantically chasing after their victims. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I think I kind of miss like zombies making you scared for your life. Like,
mm-hmm.
Because like, for example, The Walking Dead, like mm-hmm. zombies, unless you stupidly corner yourself into a situation where you can't mm-hmm. run, you'll die lah. But for this one, it's like zombies like really chasing after you, like the frantic feeling of like, oh shit. wow.
Yeah, exactly. Walking Dead kind of died off after a while for me.
Yeah.
Like once they start taking out the zombie elements, it just, you know, now you can actually compare and see, like, you look at Kingdom and how the way they execute the undead, you know, and everything, the plot, mm-hmm. and you look at things like Walking Dead, you know.
Vast difference, man.
Vast difference, really vast difference. And the thing is, one thing I like about Kingdom is they don't only focus on the zombies, but they also focus on, like, you know, the guy, what's his name? They call him Justice Cho.
The main villain, right?
Honestly speaking, he is my favorite character of the whole series.
He's like brooding. He has that brooding face.
But one thing that really, really captures me is his dialogue delivery,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, his persona as, you know, I'm the villain, but, you know, I don't do anything crazy, you know, I'm very solemn and all, but I'm the bad guy that you don't want to fuck with, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
There was one scene that I until now I still remember. Because, you know, if you watch Kingdom, you will know that what this guy does is, because he has fed the emperor with the so-called elixir of life, so the guy is turning into an undead. So now he has to constantly feed him with humans, you know, like their blood and whatnot. And after that, he would dispose it off in his lake, you remember? He would just throw it in there and all. So there was one scene when after he disposed, and the daughter, who is the queen, trying to take over the throne from the crown prince, basically she said that something along the line of, don't worry, you know, I as the queen, I'll protect you and I'll make sure that nothing happens to you and all. And that line that he delivered was so good. He just turned around to her and he said that, I put that queen title into your hand. Do you think I need your help? I was mind blown.
That leak scene where he just like told off his daughter, even though she's like the queen, like in some sense, like I put you there, I have no issues on like taking you out, like that kind of like
vibe. Yeah, that kind of thing.
That's how dangerous he is, like holy shit. yeah, then, definitely one of my favorite scenes.
So I mean, and how they incorporated, like, you know, the struggle for the throne and all the family politics in terms of, like, you know, this group of people, this guy that made his daughter marry the king so that, you know, he can bear a child. And the king has a son who's a crown prince who wants to get to the throne to protect the people, you know, that kind of thing. That whole drama, family drama thing, but they made it into a really interesting way, I guess.
Yeah, the plot writing is, I definitely would say, has written well. Character development was written well. The plot pacing and transitioning to from episode to the next episode was done really, really well. Mm-hmm. Each episode, I guess, has its own like fantastic moments. Like I think episode one where the prince was, you know, trying to snoop inside his father's so-called palace.
Mm-hmm.
The son is obviously worried about the well-being of his father, not knowing exactly what has happened to his father. He was in the room, and then he saw this like so-called beast. Mm-hmm. At the time, he didn't know that it was actually his father. Like, the father is in full zombie mode. And then coming back again to the part where zombies actually make you feel scared. That very moment it's really the one of the first things that I remember about Kingdom Hearts. Like, holy shit. Imagine you being stuck in a room and you only see a silhouette of something that scary. Yeah. And the only thing that you can see yourself is a candle lamp. Yeah, lamppost. Exactly. So I was like, oh my god, is this zombie gonna go in or not?
Yeah.
Eventually it didn't. And I guess each episode has their own moments.
Yeah, exactly. If you look at each episode, there's actually every episode, there's always one moment that is super intense and will just get you like, oh shit, you know, something's gonna happen.
Mm. And I suppose like they didn't introduce the zombie horde too early, which I think I kind of like appreciate. Like they build it up slowly, and then when it happened, like, oh my god, the thing escalated like really quickly. I think it's about episode 3, right?
Yeah, when it was episode 3. The one where they brought all the bodies back to the magistrate's place, and suddenly that scene where the lady suddenly. Her body started to bend and she just stood up.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
But before that, the one of the characters, the so-called the exile soldier, I want to call him that.
I call him the battering ram. Because apparently his body. His body is like a battering ram.
Yeah.
So he just like run and sprint and then like jam into his body.
Like no door is safe from this guy. He does not understand to use door handle. He just ram into the thing. Like,
it's like you imagine, like, you know, he being your friend and all, you know, having a conversation, walking. Next thing you know, he see a door, he start running to it.
He does not understand the etiquettes of like going in and out through a door without using the handle. He just rams into it. Like, come on,
I really hope in season 2, I really hope there's a moment where. He wants to do that whole body battering ram thing, and someone just opens the door.
You know, it'd be funny if, like, if you're gonna do like a Google search, maybe there's a meme for him, especially the ramming part.
I'd be surprised.
Like at first, when he does it, like we kind of like understood why he had to do it, right? But then eventually, he keeps on doing it, no?
Yeah, exactly. But the thing about him is, I like how they build up his character. Like from like some loser at a physician's place to an asshole who took a dead body and start feeding them, feeding the meat to the people, to a human battering ram. And finally, close to the end, you realize that he's actually a sharpshooter in the army. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. The character development, I gotta agree with you, it's written nicely for him. Like, he's a bit of a mystery guy. Like, in the early episodes, right, you're trying to figure out, like, what's his deal? Like, why is he here? You know, like, is he some kind of beggar? You know, like some rascal living off scraps and this and that. I mean, he's like a freeloader at the so-called clinic. But I like the part, I can't remember which episode was it, but he was talking to one of the nurse, and like the nurse literally found out that he actually used one of the dead assistant body as the food to feed the people, to feed the hungry people, which are currently like low on food and all that. So the line that I remember, it was along something like he told the nurse that it is a means for survival, and then it just so happens he told her off, like, how do you think people in the South survive? Like that very idea of cannibalism, holy
but cannibalism was really a big thing back then.
Yeah, but I mean, the how often like TV shows or any movie introduce such a very dark concept, you know? Like, in order to survive, the possibility of you eating your family member, right? Or somebody you know, oh my god, that very idea, that concept, but it's very dark. Yeah, and the guy just pop he just told her. Mm-hmm. And like, if I didn't do this, you think people can survive? But unfortunately, that turned out to be worse, the worst idea, because everybody else, because the dead assistant is affected by by the virus. But because in his version, when he got bitten by the king, the process was kind of like slow, so he hasn't turned up. But when people consume his body, mm-hmm. like, oh my god, the thing just like, oh, that escalated. Yeah, like I was like, oh, siala, what is happening here? Then the scene where the other nurse got eaten up, and then everybody, like every zombie, like pile up on her. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, that, exactly.
That's crazy, siala. Like, and oh. Yeah. And like, besides this renegade soldier, what other characters that, I mean, besides the villain you mentioned earlier, the Justice Cho, like, is there anybody else that you remember a lot, like being the person to give you an impression, like, I like this guy or I like this person?
Well, before we talk about that, you know that lady, the one that act as the nurse?
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? I can't remember her name. But anyways, when she first appeared on screen, I was like, this woman is so familiar. Where have I seen her somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Then I remembered. There was this movie a while back called Cloud Atlas. Okay. It has like Tom Hanks, Halle Berry and all in it. And this actress, she was in it as well. And the only reason why I remember that she's in it is because she had a topless scene.
Oh, is it? I did not know that. I didn't see it. Okay.
Why is this woman so familiar?
Because the thing that when I saw the so-called interviews and all that, she is quite proficient in English. So I was like, which I know very little about her. And then there's only another Netflix movie. She was also in it as one of the so-called entourage or something like that. So it's like, it's a Korean drug king movie. I forget what the title was. She was also in it. So I was like, oh, okay. She's quite famous, which I didn't not know about.
Oh, the drug king, is it?
Yeah, something like...
The famous actor, Kim Jong-un. I think he was
As well. So it's a like a small timer becoming into a drug kingpin.
That's the one.
What was her name?
Sunbae.
Duna or something, I don't know. I'm sorry, like we said earlier before.
Sorry,
we...
it's not Sunbae. Oh my god. Sunbae, yeah, so what's that? Names,
yes.
Sunbae? No, it's Duna Bae.
Don't, I mean, Sunbae is still okay. Don't Sundar lah. I think we're gonna go that territory. Yeah. So apologize. Yeah. We apologize for, we're gonna butcher so much Korean names. We are so sorry.
God.
Sunbae. You know,
it's a Sunbae.
I know.
It's like a retarded mushroom.
Oh my god! If Arif or Aizen hears this,
Sunbae.
Is that? Sir? I think I'm gonna get an error if I Google search that, sir. So Sunbae, I know lah. The mouth thing, that one I know. Oh my god!
Oh my god! Fucking Sunbae!
How did we go there, Sian?
I have no idea. But anyways, her name is actually Duna Bae.
Yeah. Like, I think that's how it's pronounced. I don't know. I really cannot confirm this. But what do you think about her?
Because it's spelled D O O N A.
Yeah. How like that?
Cannot be Duna Bae, right?
Bae. Hey, siala.
Oh,
I doubt so, but I mean, you can take a crack at it, but you know, I doubt so.
I was thinking, like, you know, just now you're saying Sunbae, then now we say Duna Bae, and then Duna Bae. How about Sunbae?
I think you go ask Sonam, see, ask her help. Go.
Oh my god. Anyways, her name is Duna Bae. Yeah.
All right. So, what do you think of her character in Kingdom, being the nurse and all? I think she did all right.
Honestly, like, for me, she's not my favorite character in the show.
Oh, is
she
it?
She has okay. the resting bitch face. You know
I mean, she has to lah. Like, nobody seems to believe the epidemics that's running around. She's
it's
the
like,
only one.
It's like, whenever, like, I don't know, like, when someone tells her, like, something, then she's shocked. Then she's like, okay, I'm going to give the resting bitch face. Then when the zombie stands up, she gets shot, but in a resting bitch face. I'm like,
but
I mean, she's a good actress. I mean, no doubt she's a good actress, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
But then again, I mean, she's the only one who's actually trying to find a cure based on her doctor's recorded scriptures. I mean, the rest, like, they have no clue on what to do. She's the only one, like, maybe need to find the flower and find so-called the antidote.
They should probably rename the flower.
To what?
Sunbe.
I'm not even going there.
Oh my god.
Anyways. I think it's not approved by any flowerist that or botanist that I know. Like, nah.
Yeah, you can always create one and just rename it to, you know.
The Sunbe flower.
Just
I don't know about that, man.
Okay, enough Sunbe. Enough Sunbe.
How do you even spell that, Shell? Sun, S-O-O-N, Sunbe. I'm just gonna Google like Sunbe. Let me see what happens.
Oh my god.
Sunbe. And then the first search result that comes out is Sun to be. Urban Dictionary. Okay, let me see what it means. Oh, it's actually there's a guy called Sunbe Kim, a taekwondo martial arts guy. But when someone is slowly becoming your bee. Soon to be.
Kill me now.
Oh my god. Oh no, I'm in the wrong website. It's the Urban Dictionary. This is the Merepi stuff that comes out.
Oh my god.
Soon to be. When someone is slowly becoming. Like, okay, I'm done with this, man. Enough.
Okay. Let's get back to it.
How do we get here, sir?
Okay, other characters that I like was the Crown Prince assistant, that guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to butcher his name again. Wait, let me find his name.
Yeah, we're going to butcher everybody's names. We already stated early on.
His name is Sang Ho Kim.
Yeah. Sang Ho Kim. Yeah. Yeah, the so-called the assistant to the Crown Prince.
Yeah.
This guy wasn't around. I'm pretty much sure that the Crown Prince would have died.
He would be fucked, yeah.
Yeah, like this guy was like, he's like the comic relief, so to speak. But
yeah, the comic relief of the show.
Yeah, he has the serious moments to him, but he's like the most loyal person to the Crown Prince. And without him, yeah, I mean, the Crown Prince wouldn't have survived if he weren't around. Like, he's like the bodyguard, the loyal guy, the sidekick. Mm. And I mean, there are times where the Crown Prince, I think, was being a little bit douche to him. But, I mean, they have their
moments when the dialogue is just like, oh, you know, I'm just using you for the kind of thing, you know. Like,
yeah, but I mean, in the end, they are still the buddy-buddy, like duo, which I definitely like. Like, I mean, he himself is having a situation where his wife, I forgot about that part.
The queen is not even pregnant, remember?
Yeah, that one is the major, like, plot twist. Like, yeah. And the justice the father of the queen
doesn't know it.
Yeah, and he even told the queen that I only want a son for so called to be the next king. Like any pregnant what is it concubine or something? I can't remember the slave girls are like any one of them are pregnant and gives birth to daughters are instantly dealt with lah. Yeah. And unfortunately for the daughters, they don't survive. So right now
But you know the thing is, right, sadly, right, this whole female infanticide thing is actually still going on in modern day, especially in places like Africa, India. I know certain parts of India, they still do.
Oh, they do? Oh, I didn't know that.
Female infanticide. Oh. So the moment where, let's say, a family has a daughter, that's it. They're going to kill the baby.
That's a caste system kind of thing, right? Am I right?
It's not really a caste system kind of thing, but it's more of
superstition.
Chauvinistic, egoistic character of the male male guys that live in those parts of the world. Because they always feel that the male, the men are always of the superior than the woman, you know? Which is bullshit, I mean.
Yeah, that very idea definitely is very dark. Kind of like a thing, which is a real thing, and they shove that idea into the show again. Yeah. Like they are not scared to shove dark ideas,
to
the thing. So like for the Crown Prince sidekick, I mean the wife is in a predicament. I mean she doesn't know what's gonna. And if going into season two, if she does bear a son. Wow, the plot twist for between her and the queen.
In season two, his assistant will play a really big part of it. I somehow have that feeling. Because now, once they started to incorporate his wife into the picture, then that's where you know, like, oh, okay, you know, they're going to do something big with him.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that somewhat, around season two, we're probably going to release in January next year. So I have a feeling that halfway through his journey with the Crown Prince, I think he might leave. You know,
maybe like he either chooses one or the other kind of. That definitely gonna agree with that.
Let's talk about that last cliffhanger twist.
How they did for Train to Busan, the concept of like if the zombies were in darkness, was it in darkness when the
train
and then they suddenly don't move, right? Or was it they lost their sense of like awareness for the zombies?
I think they lost their sense of awareness.
And then the moment when they are in like visible light, they start to move again. So that was the twist for Train to Busan. But for Kingdom, the writers did a fantastic job on incorporating a new concept to zombies, which is using the element of cold weather. Like, what do you think? Like, was it?
Okay, let me throw this question to you. Do you think that I lost my train of thought. Fuck.
Okay. Anyway, later can return. Anyway, the last two episodes I was like noticing because most of them have like mustache and very thick beards, right? So I was like I started to notice, they got a lot of, like white stuff on their like face, like they don't know how to wipe like that. So I was like,
what?
So like because like especially the Justice Ho guy, like, there's a lot of white stuff on your mustache, like tolong lap. and then suddenly it got to me, you know, the cold weather is coming, winter is coming, and then that cliffhanger happened. I was like, oh my god, that is awesome, like the zombies are actually active not because they are active at night, but because during night the weather is much more colder, and that element, that element itself, right, they did not reveal until the last episode, which I think is genius.
Genius.
And then like suddenly you start to question, why in the last episode the zombies started running in daylight? Because winter is coming, and just so happens winter is coming around the time, which was like, clever. that was genius to me.
Game of Thrones,
Yeah, it's Game of Thrones during that time, the season 8 was like quite near, and then for Kingdom to incorporate the cold weather as part of the elements for the zombie, I think
it was nicely done. Very well done.
Definitely, I have not seen a zombie movie using weather elements as part of their so-called the gimmick. So I would definitely look forward to see how season 2 plays out for the zombies. Like, since now everybody will eventually get to know why they are moving because of the elements. Maybe Justice Ho knows about this. I don't know. Like, he seems to
somehow have a plan, feeling he knows about it. He seems to know a lot of things, but one thing I like is they don't reveal all his abilities, you know. So his there's still a lot of hidden abilities that he has yet to unveil, I guess.
So, like, what are the side characters like? I think other than the Crown Prince sidekick, what about the Crown Prince teacher? I think he's badass.
The guy
in white. What's his group called? I mean, I call them the zombie killers. They seem to be well versed in killing zombies. Like, this is as though not their first rodeo with a zombie. Which is also another plot point, which I kind of find it interesting, because it seems like they know what they're doing, especially when getting to zombie. Like, it gives you this question, have they done this before? If so, why does the other people not know about it? And you know, it got me thinking, because Justice Ho keeps on saying about the Crown Prince teacher being he's not brave enough to go against me, this and that. Because at one time they were in the same cabinet when the king was alive. So because there's one moment where size on the teacher grieving over the death of his mother, this and that. And just so happens the resurrection flower is located near to his village. So I was wondering, since his group seems to be quite experienced in killing zombies, and it begs you the question, did he ever try to use the resurrection flower on someone?
I think he did.
So
if not, he wouldn't, if you think about it, if not, he wouldn't do things after feeding the king. You know, straight away, wrap the body and just drown it in the river, kind of thing. Because if he didn't know of their existence, he'll probably bury it somewhere or burn it somewhere, kind of thing. You know.
Yeah.
But why bury it underwater? So
plus, the last two episodes did show that one of the so-called mountains where they found the flower, and then there was the chair, and then the chains, it's trying to imprison somebody. And then but then it begs the question, who was it for? Up in the mountains, and then there was a chair, and then the chains, who was it meant to chain up?
Exactly.
Yeah, so I would like to see further developments on that part for season 2.
Yep, definitely.
I think one of the things I really want to go on before I forget is that I definitely love the character of the Crown Prince. At first he looked like he could be a spoiled brat, because he's the prince, right? The son of the king and all that. But the writing done for him, I definitely like, because in episodes 3 or 4, especially they're trying to save the people and from the oncoming zombie horde, and they went back to the clinic, and then one of the cuts got stuck, and everybody was trying their very best to save everyone on the card by like trying to push out from the porthole.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love that scene is because like it really shows like him showing the traits of what it is to be king. Because in all these like dynasty settings, like everybody thinks they know what it takes to be a king, but in that very moment it shows like the real traits are like, you know, because he's about people first before himself, which I think was one of the great character developments. It's a poster boy lah for the show. But he's written quite well, and I mean even without his sidekick around, he did handle himself pretty well, especially when he was locked up in the hut and then fighting off the Justice Ho's son.
Which
got decapitated. And he handled himself quite well. Like in that scene, I mean he was with him and two other soldiers trying to kill him. So I think he handled himself pretty well.
Yeah, he did, he did.
Yeah.
And I think as I think season two develops, there'll be more character building on. I think the season two ones, season one was more like a, you know, like an introduction of everyone and all. But I think season two, they will dive deeper into each character.
And for sure.
And I'm actually, besides the whole finding out why did the zombie came out in daylight and all, the one thing that I'm actually very interested in is how the family politics and element build up, you know, like into something bigger and more chaotic. Because for me, Kingdom, it feels like watching earlier days of Game of Thrones.
Or like the first three seasons, like
the power that play of that. Like, you know, all the power play from like the prominent characters and all the execution, or you know. But one thing different is, of course, Game of Thrones didn't introduce a lot of the White Walkers in the first few seasons, but for their main focus is that. But you know, they layer it with like the family drama, the politics, the character development, and whatnot. You know?
So,
I'm actually really looking forward to season two. I think this is one of my all-time favorite TV series.
Yeah. So, before I go last on one of the characters, which we nearly forgot, have you remembered your train of thought yet?
Oh, no.
Okay, never mind.
I totally forgot my train of thought.
Okay, Sunbei.
Sunbei.
All right, the character that I was referring to is probably one of the most useless but one of the most lucky bastards in the entire show. You know, like that one of the ministers that
the one that likes the nurse.
Yeah, and I tell you, this guy is the most useless.
The comedic relief of the show as well.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, he's the comedic but I mean, he's one of the most useless characters, but he damn lucky, Shell. How many times has he survived without getting killed? I think twice, right?
I think more than that. I think like three times. One on the boat, one in the
village also, the palace. Village,
Then one is in the...
Oh, the lalang. The fight at the lalang.
Ah, yes. That one.
Like, Shell, how could somebody... This guy damn useless, you know. He can't fight for anything.
But you know where they are going with him, right? You can actually start picturing where they are going with him.
As in, what is he gonna get killed off?
What I feel is they are going to, because now they are creating a bond between him and the nurse. So I have a feeling as the season progresses, right, they will slowly build that bond closer and closer and closer and closer. But then they're going to pull off a Game of Thrones. Like, you know what? Since you're beginning to like this guy, fuck you, he's going to die.
Oh, man, that is so cruel. I mean, Game of Thrones fans have to endure that for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, you like him? Huh? Okay, die.
Oh, you like this guy? Okay, fuck you, he's dead.
Oh, siala, but, oh my God. He damn lucky, sir. See, I was like thinking, hey, when is this guy going to die? Bloody hell, he would die.
I mean, it's always the case. It's like the more you want him to die, he won't. But the more you don't want him to, that's it. He's gone.
he's a minister, right? Like that's his title.
He's a, like a magistrate.
Yeah. But like I love it. Yeah.
He's like a town council grassroots leader. That's what you say.
But I definitely love when one of his advisors died on the boat. You know, the
that annoying guy that didn't allow them to go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. Why?
It was justice, man. Seeing him turning into a zombie.
He was just fucking annoying. That's why when the scene where, you know, he stopped them from, you know, that scene, the one at the wall, and he stopped them from coming. Mm-hmm. That scene was actually very intense. You know, like they were trying to run, then the zombies start coming in. You're like, oh shit, oh shit.
Yeah, like they were butt off and then like they were trying to get through. It's like, hey, Sella, this guy, I hope you die. Yeah, but overall, Kingdom as a show, well paced, well written, excellent character development, good production.
Yeah.
And if anyone who watches The Walking Dead for a long time and they want to get another fix of a zombie show.
Fuck The Walking Dead, man. Watch Kingdom.
Yeah. Definitely check out Kingdom.
Walking Dead is lame. Now it's getting even more lame.
I mean, Walking Dead is already over. And officially for comics, they will be ceasing production soon. I think they never complete the... I think, 200 issues or something. I can't remember how many issues was it, but they finish the last two issues, but that's on the comic side, but for the TV series, I mean, it's already over.
Yeah.
And
I mean, is it already over?
Yeah, it's done and over with. So they're no longer. So I mean, Kingdom 6 episodes are in total. I just double checked 6 episodes.
Yep.
You can watch by binging it, you can watch episodically, weekly, it's up to you because it's Netflix.
Yeah, you can watch it on Netflix.
Yeah, and highly recommended. I mean, me and Fias definitely talked about it on WhatsApp a lot, including with the rest of our friends. And so I think pretty much that's it for Kingdom. We talked
before
a lot
that,
on.
If you want to know how good Kingdom is, my dad, he only likes action movies. And he hates watching series.
Okay.
So, when my wife said, oh, you know, why don't you let your dad watch? I let him watch one episode. And next thing you know, he watched everything. And he's like, oh, it's a very good series. So, if a person like my dad, who believes that, you know, you go to a cinema to be entertained, not to watch a soppy movie and cry and leave the cinema. If he, that kind of person, say it's good, trust me, it's really good.
Yeah, and for me, my family member would be my grandma. She watched it in 2 days, 3 episodes per day. And she was the only one that in my family, I mean, my grandfather did not watch because he couldn't understand the language. But my grandmother watched it because I was her direct translator.
Mm-hmm.
And she definitely loved the plot twist and... surprisingly, the franticness of the show when it escalated. I was like, oh, okay, it can make my grandma not leave her seat and forgot about cooking. So I think that's nice. So yeah, I mean, if you guys haven't watched Kingdom, do check out on Netflix and whichever platform you choose. So,
and we are looking forward to season 2, January 20.
Confirm, January.
Yeah, they're going to release it in January.
I see, because... I can't remember which website I saw. They stated that they have finished shooting. Or was it started shooting this month or something like that?
I think it started shooting.
Yeah. Definitely looking forward to it. So that's Kingdom. If you were to give a rating out of 10, how much would you give?
9.
I will definitely give it a 9 as well. There's a few plot holes, but I mean, a 9 is a high praise, I think.
Yeah, my only dislike about it is resting beach face. That's it.
Soon to be. You don't believe me? You go and Google search. I cannot believe that this is the first search result that came up from Google. I was like, what? Soon to be.